We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
The testimony that I wanted to share was my dad was actually here last Sunday, and so he had never heard a message on speaking in tongues before, and so, you know, my husband, he takes it all through the Bible, just all the scripture on speaking in tongues. And so he had said he had never heard a message like that before. He always thought, it was kind of crazy or weird or like just never been taught about it. And so when there was the opportunity at the end to come forward to receive it, he did. He came forward. So it's just amazing. I mean, I've been saved 9 years, and to see this stuff now taking place with my family. So, and then also on Monday, we went down to Pennsylvania, where I'm from, where all my family is. So we went down there, and Sunday night, after seeing that with my dad, I was like, you know, Lord, I'm gonna step out in faith. It was like the Holy Spirit was leading me to just pray for an open door with my family when I went to Pennsylvania on Monday. And the last several times I had been there, because my family's all Catholic, they're really religious, they think I'm crazy. So when I was like not expecting, you know. And even my husband's a saint, so they don't even want to hear it from him. You are a saint. So it was shocking, like, even when we go, that they don't want to hear anything from either of us. They're so, like, set in their ways, like, you know, Catholic or die type of thing. But I'm like, the Holy Spirit's leading me Sunday night, and I just prayed a simple prayer. Lord, I just thank you for an open door, for their hearts would be open to receive from your word and to hear what we would have to say. And that was it. That's all I prayed. I didn't think anything else about it. But so Monday we get there, and it was like, a little bit later in the night, my mom comes up to us and is like, she's in tears. She's like, I don't know how to say this. She's like, but last night I had a dream that I met Jesus. And, you know, a lot of conversations I have with them, it's always like Mary, you know, the saints, it's all like, you know, the priest, all the popes, all this sort of stuff. Our priest says this or whatever. But this was the first time where it was like, I had a dream, I met Jesus. And she's like weeping, and she's like, I can't even really explain it. She's like, it was just like this glorious light, like he was there.
For her to be healed.
And he had prayed for her to be healed because, yeah, so this amazing dream. Right?
Yeah.
And so I was like, Mom, was it like, you know, like a born again experience, or was it more of just like, you know, because I've never mentioned born again to them. So I'm like trying to slip it in, you know, like, you know, like, or was it just like, you know, one of your silly dreams or whatever? And she's like, I don't know. I really feel like I've never experienced anything like this before. She's still crying and she's trying to explain all of it. She doesn't know what it means. She then talks to him about it later that night as well and explains it to him. And she's like trying, searching, like, what is this? So this then leads to my grandparents, who are basically like, you know, they've been Catholic their entire lives, like they would never consider anything else. So this is crazy. So they're sitting there and my mom is sitting there. What it led to, like 2 hours of us talking about the Bible, about are you born again? What do you believe if you die? Like, do you go to heaven? You know, all this and that. And like, I was able then to share my entire testimony. And I was like, do you guys remember, like, when I wasn't saved? I was like, Mom, you saw because I was in an abusive relationship. I was like, you had to drive me to the hospital when my face was completely bashed in and you couldn't recognize me. I said, you remember to my grandmother when you had to bail me out of jail. I was like, all of these things. I was like, you remember I used to drink like nonstop. I was, you know, like I experimented with like drugs. I said, I could never be single. I was always in a relationship because I was terrified of being alone. And they're like, yeah, like they're recalling all of this. I said, the moment that I got born again, when I went to this Joyce Meyer conference, I didn't expect for that to happen, but I'm sitting there, and when I said the prayer, dear Lord Jesus, come into my heart, forgive me of my sin, wash me and cleanse me, set me free. I said, then when I opened my eyes, it was like as if I saw color for the first time. It was like 500 pounds was lifted off my chest. I was completely forgiven of everything, not only from my ex-boyfriend who had beaten me near to death. I was like, I was able to forgive myself for all the horrible, awful things I had done to others and to myself. I was like, I literally stopped doing drugs, stopped alcohol. alcohol, stopped being in relationships, everything. From that moment, it was a 180. I said it had nothing to do with being Catholic or not. I just fell in love with Jesus. In 9 years, I had never been able to share that with my family because every single time it would start to be like, well, but you never trusted the Catholic religion, or oh, you never trusted this. Like, it was always, but they sat there for 2 hours and we were able to share the word of God with them to like, it was insane. So I'm like totally believing that this seed, that things are changing with my family, and there might be times where it's just like, it doesn't seem, but you just trust the Holy Spirit. If he asks you to pray or leads you to pray, pray in that moment, and then an open door, you're going to get favor, and we're going to see our families touched and changed by the power and the presence of God. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That's awesome. It really was great. I want to say thank you to everyone that contributed last week. We didn't know it, but last week was Pastor Appreciation Sunday. We had no idea, but we want to thank everyone again. That was such a blessing. All of you that contributed to that, we're very grateful. You guys really went above and beyond and really blew us away. So we really wanted to say thank you, and we're believing with all of you that sowed into that for multiplication and increase on the seed that you sowed. So, amen. If you're here for the first time this Sunday, I want to welcome you and thank you for joining us. We're glad that you're here. This month's series, I've been sharing on the Holy Spirit, and we've been talking primarily about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in other tongues. We are a Spirit-filled church, and we absolutely believe in that. It doesn't mean that we preach that every single Sunday, but that's what we're sharing on this month. Now, next month, you're not going to want to miss out. I'm going to share all month long on a topic that I've never shared on before, worship. And, you know, I understand next month is December, Christmas, I'm aware. But if you remember, what did those wise men come to do when they met little Jesus I was going to say in a crib, but that's a big overstatement. They came to worship him, right? So I understand next month is Christmas and we're supposed to, you know, talk about Christmassy stuff, but I guess that's just not my style. I just like to preach the word, let the word do what it needs to do, resonate in people's hearts, change people's lives, and the word is always good. Amen?
Amen.
And so I'm going to share on worship because I think what most people think they're doing on Sunday mornings is worshiping, but I don't really think that many people actually are worshiping. And so if you want to find out about that, it will probably change your life and your worship for the rest of your life if you'll receive it. If anyone's wondering, how can he teach on worship? He can't even sing. Can't hold a note, can't sing a tune. I mean, that's why the word says to make a joyful sound. It doesn't, it's not about how well you sound, amen? Now, I'm getting into next month's message already, but I promise you it'll be good. And I'm not going to be singing any solos or leading any songs, but it'll be teaching from the word on worship. Now this morning we're going to continue on this month's series on the Holy Spirit, and I would like with you to go with me in the Word to Matthew chapter 9. We're just going to start by reading verse 17, and this scripture, someone had asked me some time ago about this scripture, the meaning of it. When they asked me, I wasn't really sure. I'd read it many times, but I never really fully understood the meaning of it until I began to study it more thoroughly. In the Old Testament, even all the way through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, no one spoke in tongues, not even Jesus. Some people say, I want to be like Jesus, who operated in all 9 gifts of the Spirit, but you never see where Jesus actually spoke in tongues or interpreted tongues. And so here in Matthew chapter 9, verse 17. Does everyone have their Bible? Everyone's got their Bible out? Everyone reading with me? Because it's important that you read the Word with me. So you know I'm just not telling stories up here, right? Matthew chapter 9, nor do they put new wine into old wineskins, or else the wineskins break. The wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. You see, The wineskin here is a representation of our body or our being. And you see, under the Old Testament, they couldn't receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit because they weren't yet born again. Nobody under the Old Testament could be born again. Even Jesus' disciples and his followers and those that came to Jesus, they weren't born again because it was in the New Testament tells us that the way we become born again is by confessing Jesus as Lord and believing that he was raised from the dead, right? Well, how are you going to believe that he was raised from the dead if he hadn't died yet? So they weren't born again Christians yet. But you see, we mentioned it last week in John's gospel where it says after the fact, after Jesus had risen from the dead and he came and he breathed upon his disciples and they received the Spirit, that they then were born again, but yet they weren't filled with the Holy Spirit because they still had to go into Jerusalem and wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so here in this passage, it tells us that we first had to be changed. The old wineskin, the old being that we used to be before we were born again, it could not receive the Spirit, the baptism of the Spirit, or be filled with the Spirit. But once we become born again, now our body, now our being is able to handle the new wine. And wine is a representation, as many other examples are, water and oil and different things, are a representation of the Holy Spirit. And so in the New Testament here, you and me, we have, those of us, I pray that everyone has been born again here. If you haven't, we'll give you an opportunity at the end of the service to pray with us. But once you become born again, you have the ability to become filled with the Holy Spirit, to receive the new wine. And Jesus, time and time again, put emphasis on this. And that's why, as the New Testament church today, we put emphasis on this. This is why Jesus said that it's to our advantage that he goes away, because when he goes away, he was going to pray the Father, and the Father would send us the Holy Spirit, which he did on Pentecost. And so this isn't just some sort of thing that us Pentecostals do. This is something that Jesus talked about throughout his ministry. This is how Jesus was able to perform the miracles that he did after he was baptized in the River Jordan and the Holy Spirit descended upon him. And so this is something that because people wonder, well, can I go to heaven without the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues? Yes, you can go to heaven. You can believe in Jesus, become born again. But when you become baptized or immersed in the Holy Spirit, your whole life will change. And so this is something that every believer can have. Every believer can have it. And I'm going to show you, I'm going to talk a little bit about tongues here in a moment, and you'll see that every believer is able to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. And maybe if you've been born again for some time, with being baptized, with speaking in tongues for some time, maybe that's no great mystery to you. Maybe you just think like, well, yeah, duh, we're Spirit-filled Christians. Of course, we can all speak in tongues. I've been speaking in tongues since I was 5, or however old you got started. But the reason I put such emphasis on this is because for many people that grow up in church, and even in Pentecostal churches, they're never actually taught. Like my wife shared about her father. He'd gone to many Pentecostal services, but never really understood why people were praying in tongues and what the emphasis, such an emphasis is placed on it. And we talked about last week. You can go back, if you weren't here, you didn't get that message, you can listen to it. Every New Testament example where people received the gospel, they were then filled with the Holy Spirit. And so there is a reason that we put emphasis on this, because I grew up in a Pentecostal denominational church, and every now and then someone would pray in tongues in the middle of the service, or maybe like there was a few people that had the ability to pray in tongues, and it was all very mysterious to me. And I'm sure to many people that came, it was mysterious because no one ever really taught about it. It was just certain people had it and certain people didn't. And at least to the best of my knowledge, my parents, they would probably have a to be able to clarify better because they were adults at the time. But to me, it all just seemed like kind of mystical. Like, wow, some people get this awesome heavenly language, but not everyone does. I mean, what is it? How do you know if you're qualified for it? How do you know if you can get it? Is this something that you can believe God for and get for yourself? Or is this something that you have to just kind of hope for and wait for and just, you know, pray that God chooses me to be one of them? You know, some people believe the same thing when it comes to being born again. When it comes to being saved, that certain people have been chosen or predestined to be born again. But others, those of us that weren't so fortunate, well, just pray that you're not one of them. But how ridiculous, how silly. You see, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, the Bible says that it is impossible to please God without faith. And so everything that we do has to be done in faith. And so even when it comes to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's done by what? By faith. And faith is what? Taking action upon the Word of God. It's believing in something that you do not yet have. And some people say, well, I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but and I want to pray in tongues, but I can't. Why not? Yes, you can. If you're born again. If you've been made into a new wineskin, then your wineskin needs to be filled. What good is an empty wineskin without any wine in it? And so you need to be filled with the new wine of the Holy Spirit. And so it's not some great mystery. The reason that it remains a great mystery in many places is because people don't understand it and they don't teach on it. But I promise you, if you go to the Word of God and you study this out, speaking in new tongues, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you'll see that it wasn't just for a select group of people. You'll see that it wasn't just for a select dispensation. Do you remember last Sunday we got the example of Ananias, who was just a disciple? I mean, just a disciple of Jesus. And yet Jesus appeared to him and told him to go and pray for Paul, who at that time was called Saul, who was a man who was persecuting the church, dragging them to prison, sentencing people to death. And yet God used that disciple to go and pray for someone, to lay hands on someone else. And this, I mean, if it was just up to the 12 apostles, well then how is it that Ananias was able to do that? If you don't believe me, go to Acts chapter 9 and read it for yourself. We did that last week, so we're not going to take the time to do so today. Now go with me to Luke chapter 10, because I made reference to this passage in Luke chapter 11, but there's actually a passage that goes with it from Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, and let's read verses 19 and 20. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. Pause right there. Is Jesus actually talking about literal snakes and scorpions? I mean, if he is, that doesn't help the people of Antarctica, of Alaska, of Siberia. There's a lot of people that aren't really benefiting from this passage, right? Of course he's not actually talking about snakes and scorpions. But he goes on and continues, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So there's a passage now that we read over the last couple weeks, and we're going to read again today. We'll read it more fully in Luke chapter 11. We're going to start in the 9th verse. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. Who receives? Everyone who asks. And he who seeks, finds. Who finds? Everyone who's seeking. And to him who knocks, it will be opened to you. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? So now we come to the verse that I've been reading, If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So you see, in Luke chapter 10, he is clarifying when he's talking about snakes and scorpions that he's not actually talking about the little critters on the ground, right? But he's talking about all the power of the enemy. And then in Luke chapter 11, he uses that same analogy when he's talking about snakes and scorpions here. Which father would give to their son, if they ask for bread, would you give them a snake or a scorpion? You wouldn't. And so, our Father God, isn't he better than our earthly fathers? So if we go to our Father God seeking the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we're asking him for the Spirit and asking him to be filled with the Holy Spirit, is he going to give us an evil spirit? You see, because when I was a teenager, I invited as many of my... Once I got filled with the Holy Spirit, once I gave my life to Christ and I was serving him with all that I was at the age of 13 because Jesus became real to me and I had this impact from the Holy Spirit, I started inviting all of my friends to church. I had no idea really how to explain. I never had been taught even how to pray with people to become born again. But I knew that Jesus had become real to me. I knew that my life had been impacted, and I knew how good it was, and I wanted to share that good gift with everyone that I could. So it started with me, and then my brothers, they were touched by the Holy Spirit, and so we began inviting all of our friends, as many as we could, and eventually, you've heard the story probably, that by the end of a couple years of this, that my family, we filled up two whole rows of people in our church from all the people that we were bringing to church on Sundays. And I had this one friend of mine who grew up in a denominational church where the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not accepted, where speaking in tongues is evil, where it's said that it's evil. But my friend came anyway. His parents let him. He's a great friend of mine. And he came to our church, and he got touched just the same way that I got touched and got filled with the Holy Spirit. Just the way that I got filled. But when eventually, after some time, and I mean, like, again, you always should look at the fruit of what's taking place in someone's life. Like my wife, when she got born again, her whole life changed. She stopped drinking. She stopped sleeping around. She dumped her loser boyfriend. She stopped drinking, alcohol and doing drugs and doing all this stuff. You should look at the fruit and think, wow, that's wonderful. I want that. And this is what took place in my life when I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is what took place in my friend's life when he got filled with the Holy Spirit and many other people that were being touched and filled by the Holy Spirit. But religion is how Jesus called the Pharisees blind. They don't even look for the right fruit. They're just looking for what they want to control. And so my friend, he's coming. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. His life begins to transform. He's coming. He loves coming to church. Every time he comes to church, he comes down to the altar during worship, lifts his hands, starts crying, starts shaking, whatever, it doesn't matter. He's just getting touched by the Holy Spirit, and he's falling in love with Jesus even more, just like I had. But after some time, it was his family, his grandparents, his parents, and members of his church convinced him that all of that was taking place in our church was evil, and that God doesn't fill people with the Holy Spirit today like he used to, and the baptism with evidence of speaking in tongues, he doesn't do that today. But that's all evil. And that when people pray in tongues today, they're yielding themselves to evil spirits. But we just read here that when we go to our Heavenly Father and we ask him to fill us with the Holy Spirit, he will not give to us a serpent or a scorpion or an evil spirit. But he only will give us that good and precious gift, the Holy Spirit. Amen? And so, we don't have to be concerned. Now, granted, I've been there. If you want to travel down to Haiti, you can go find some voodoo priest in a Catholic church, probably. I've been there. There's like, it's really weird, but you see these Catholic churches, and they're doing like voodoo cult ceremonies in there. If you go ask voodoo doctor, to fill you with the Holy Spirit, you might end up with some problems, okay? But we're not going to a witch doctor. We're not going to the devil. We're not going to the sons of the devil. We're going straight to Father God and saying, Father God, we want you to fill us with your Holy Spirit. We want to know you more. We want your presence. Come touch us. Come change us. Come fill us with your Holy Spirit. And do you really think that at that point, when we come to Father God boldly into his, approaching his throne, asking him by faith, really, essentially, when you look at faith, it's making a demand and saying, God, fill me. And he says here that if he who asks, they will receive. He who seeks will find. He who knocks, it will be opened. And this same passage where God is saying, Jesus is explaining that if you seek the Holy Spirit, he will be given to you. If you ask for the Holy Spirit, he will be given to you. Not some evil spirit, but the Holy Spirit. So we don't have to be concerned. But we go to our Father God and know that from Father God, only good and perfect gifts come down from our Father in heaven, with whom is no variation or shadow of turning. He doesn't change, but he only has good in store for us. And so, when we come to church on a Sunday like this, and we come seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we come to seek the Spirit, and with the evidence of speaking in tongues, you don't need to be worried. You know, if I was down here preaching strange doctrines and preaching weird stuff and acting all kinds of bizarre and encouraging you to go outside of God's Word and a bunch of nonsense, well then, yes, be concerned. But when we come before God, seeking Him, there's no reason to be concerned. Amen? If you then, being evil, know how to give your children good, give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? He wants to give it to you. He wants to give Him to you. Have you asked Him? This is something for you to decide. And you know, I've learned over the years that faith isn't some sort of passive thing where it's like, yeah, Holy God, if you want to give me some Holy Spirit, I guess I'll try it. It's like, you know, I mean, like, everyone else is doing it around me, so, you know, if you want to give some to me too, I guess I'll take it and we'll see what it's like. No, you see, when you come to God, you have to come very specific. You know, even these examples that he gives here, you know, when a son asks for bread, or if he asks for a fish, or if he asks for an egg, he's asking for a very specific thing each time. You see, when you come to Father God, you should ask for something specific. You need to, you know, if I come and I'm just like, yeah, God, I'll take whatever you'll give me. Well, that doesn't always work. You know, with my children, if they come to me and ask whatever, you know, hey, I'll give whatever you're taking out. Well, I got a list of chores here for you. You know, it might not be what they were expecting, right? But, you know, if they come and they say, hey, you know, Papa, can I get some of that peanut butter? Well, you know, I just might. But if they aren't asking me for peanut butter, chances are I'm not gonna. Right? So we should come. You have to be specific with the Lord. Father, I want to receive your Holy Spirit. I want to speak in new tongues, just like your word says that I can. And then you take action by faith, believing for the thing that you do not have. Some people are always saying, well, you know, I want the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I've been seeking him for so long, but I just don't get it. Well, you'll treat finances the same way. You'll treat healing the same way. You'll treat everything the same way. Now, granted, when you're a brand new baby Christian, you might just get some freebies because you're a baby and you need the food brought right to you, right? But as you graduate and as you grow in the things of God, well, now I have to go to God and ask him specifically for what I want and demand it by faith, like that woman with the issue of blood. She went to Jesus. Jesus didn't even know she was there. Jesus didn't have a word of knowledge that someone in the crowd had an issue of blood. But she came up to Jesus and had already decided, before she ever touched him, that I'm going to take my healing, my miracle from Jesus. And that's the way that we should approach him, because that's the demand of faith. And when we go to be filled with the Holy Spirit and speak with other tongues, if you're just kind of hoping for it, it's not going to work, because hope is not faith. Faith is believing that you have something before you see it in the natural. It's claiming as yours, demanding it, saying, Father God, I thank you that I have it. When the church has a need, or when I personally have a need, I go to Father God and I say, thank you, Father, that you supply all of my needs according to your riches and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. I thank you that your word says it, that gives me the faith for it. I believe it, and I have it. Now, when I say that I have it, God isn't just poof. It just plops into my hands. Thank you, Father. It just drops right down out of heaven and appears. It doesn't work like that. But I lay hold of it with my faith, and I say, thank you, Father, that I have it. And I don't know where it's coming from. I don't know if somebody's going to give it to me, if it's going to mysteriously appear in the mail, or however it's coming, it doesn't matter to me. But I thank you, Father, that I have it. Well, we can, the same way that we would believe for a healing or for finances is the way that we believe for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Father God, I thank you that I have the Holy Spirit. I thank you that you've given me the ability to pray in other tongues. You know, but some people are just kind of hoping. Well, wouldn't that be nice if one day I could speak in tongues? If God ever gets good and ready, if God ever gets in the mood of filling me with his Holy Spirit, sure, I'll take it. But I mean, that's not for me to decide. He's got to do that. No. Absolutely not. You have to ask. And when you ask, you receive. Amen? Now, tongues is even spoken about in the Old Testament. This is kind of an interesting passage, but in Isaiah chapter 28, in verse 11, in the verses prior to that, he was actually rebuking the priests for being intoxicated with natural wine, an intoxicating drink. But then he goes on to talk about how God is going to speak to his people. And we're going to begin to speak about praying in tongues. But here in Isaiah 28 and verse 11, it says this, "For with stammering lips and another tongue he will speak to this people, to whom he said, 'This is the rest, which you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing.' Yet they would not hear." You see, when we pray in tongues, it's a refreshing. Or you could say, with stammering lips and another tongue. And we're going to go to, you can turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and we're going to talk about tongues. I briefly mentioned some of these scriptures last week, but we're going to maybe go into a little more detail in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. But you see, when we pray in tongues, we can rest. We're being charged up in the inner man. Our spirit man is being made strong. Did you ever read that scripture where it says that the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead will also quicken our mortal bodies? It's the same spirit. And so when we're praying in the spirit, when we're praying in our heavenly language, our body is receiving rest. Our body is being refreshed. And you see, you might be tired. You might be working hard. You might be out there doing what God's called you to do. And it almost might feel like, man, I've been working so hard at this and it's just wearing me down. Well, I have the solution. As we pray in tongues and we become refreshed from the refreshing of God, this is the refreshing. This is the rest. To pray in tongues with stammering lips. Because then what happens? The quickening. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead will quicken. To quicken means to give life to strengthen. Man, sometimes we rely too much in the natural on what we're capable of, on what our body can handle, on what our mind can process. But if we would learn to tap into the realm of the Spirit and to look to Him, you see, He's the one that leads us and guides us into all truth. He's the one that illuminates the Word. Remember, we read it in, was it John 14 or was it John 16? Where it says that He will remind us, bring to our remembrance all the words that Jesus had spoken. So So, you know, you might not have the answer. You might just be like, well, I've been, you know, wondering about this thing for so long. And as you're praying in the Spirit, as you're praying in tongues, all of a sudden, an answer just drops into your heart. You don't need God to speak to you audibly. You don't need Gabriel or Michael to come give you a message. You don't need Jesus himself to. As we pray in other tongues, in the Spirit, he can reveal something to your inner man, to your spirit man, that all of the sudden, it just drops on the inside of you. And when that happens, you don't need to confer with flesh and blood anymore. If you read through Galatians, you see that when Paul received his revelation of who Jesus was, that he didn't actually go to the apostles until, wasn't it 14 years later? It says that he did not confer with flesh and blood. Why? Because he had it directly from the Spirit. You see, when you get the answer here, then you don't need to worry about up here. And I'm not saying that there isn't wisdom in a multitude of counsel. Okay? This is not what I'm not saying that it's unwise to go and talk to a group, talk to your spirit-filled and like-minded believers and to talk things out. There's nothing wrong with that. But when God is leading you, when you've been praying in the Spirit and you've been asking him to lead you and guide you into all truth, and all of a sudden it just pops up into here, man, just stick with it. He's given you the answer for a reason. He wants you to experience the life abundantly, the life more abundantly. He wants you to experience breakthrough. And that's how he guides us and leads us. Amen? All right, so 1 Corinthians 14. Some of these verses we'll look at in a couple translation. I have the second verse in the Amplified. In the first verse it says, "Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him, including himself." Right? If no one understands him, you're speaking to God and not to men. Well, you don't even understand what you're saying. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Now, some people might go on to read the rest of these verses, and this is why I'm only speaking about verse 2, because verse 3 says, "But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church." So, and he kind of elevates prophecy above speaking in tongues. But what is the context that he's talking about when he does that? He's talking about in the church, when we're all gathered together. You see, if we're all in church together, we're all here joined together, my brother over here or sister over here praying in tongues does nothing for me. Right? But when someone gets up and prophesies, which is to declare forth the word of God, well, that can benefit everyone. So it's not to say that, well, you know, Paul's saying that tongues is basically worthless because, you know, prophecy is better. In the congregation, when we're all gathered together, yeah, prophecy can edify everyone. When I pray in tongues, unless it's by the gift of tongues, in connection or conjunction with the interpretation of tongues, it does nothing for you. Sometimes I think people misunderstand, like when a minister is praying in tongues, unless it's the gift of tongues with the interpretation of tongues, it's not helping anybody out. It might sound very spiritual and it might be great, but like me just praying in tongues for somebody, you know, it's not like you're getting anything from that. But you don't know. Maybe you start off praying in tongues just for yourself, and then all of a sudden, you know, like, wasn't it Smith Wigglesworth who said he would start off in the flesh and end up in the Spirit? You start off just praying, you know, maybe no special unction, maybe no special leading, but just out of principle, I'm going to pray in tongues, and you just do it because that's what we do. We pray in tongues. And then maybe along the lines, maybe it's an hour into it, all of a sudden, the Spirit takes over with a gift of tongues and then an interpretation of tongues. You see, it even in this chapter, it says that he who prays in an unknown tongue, let him pray that he may interpret. So it's not that you have to have a different person there to interpret. You know, you can interpret the tongue yourself, but that's talking about the gift of tongues. You see, there's the gift of tongues that goes with the other gifts of the Spirit, the gift of faith, the gift of healing, the gift of miracles, the gift of the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge. Those are the gifts of the Spirit, right? But here, he distinguishes between praying yourself in tongues and praying and ministering in the church. Because it says in verse 2, for in the Amplified, for one who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands or catches his meaning, because in the Holy Spirit he utters secret truths and hidden things, not obvious to the understanding. And in Moffat's translation, it says he is talking divine secrets in the Spirit. So you pray things that you might not know about and other people might not know about. You know, I think sometimes we try to control how we're praying, even when we're praying in tongues. Well, you know, I'm going to pray in tongues, but I'm going to be praying in tongues about this. No, you're not. You don't even know what you're saying. Right? When we pray in tongues, we don't know what we're praying. That's what the scripture says. Our understanding is unfruitful. But we pray in tongues, and God prays through us. So we're praying the perfect will of God. You can't get any better than that when it comes to your prayer life. Now, because we're people, you know, we would prefer to have some understanding, right? I'd like to know what I'm praying about. And sometimes the Lord will give that to you. He'll drop something in your spirit. But even if he doesn't, just pray in tongues. You know, you can pray with tongues and pray with understanding. Pray in them both. They're both good. It's not like you can only pray in tongues. But here, even in this same chapter, we're going to come to it, where it says that Paul said, I pray in tongues more than you all. All right, now keep your finger here in 1 Corinthians 14, but go with me to Romans chapter 8. In verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. Now, people, especially people that are often like living in the soulish realm, they take this stuff out of context. You see, oh, we're just weak. We're just frail human beings. Would you ever say that about Jesus? No, right? Yep. The man was in charge. Yep. Everywhere he went, he was the boss, yep. Right? Yep. No one would look at Jesus and be like, oh, he's just, there he is, holding the lamb again. No, that's not Jesus. Jesus is insulting the religious, calling them a brood of vipers. You whitewash tombs. He's flipping over the money changers, driving them out with a whip that he made. You see, Jesus, he was the man. But us, we're just weak in our weaknesses. No, you see, when he says they're in our weaknesses, he's not talking about being physically weak or incapable. He goes on to explain what he's talking about. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. Our weakness is that we don't know how we should pray. Because if you've ever been in a situation like, I mean, if you're like me, which you're probably not, praise God, but, you know, my limited understanding of situations runs out pretty quick. So when I go to pray for something, I got about 3 sentences in English before I run out of what I should continue praying. Like, Lord, thank you that you're meeting my needs according to your riches and glory. I thank you that you provide for me. I'll take it, Lord, as soon as you want to give it to me. Lord, I thank you. I receive it. I demand it by faith. You know, I say a few sentences, but how long are you really going to pray like that? Otherwise, you're just going to end up repeating yourself over and over and over and over again, praying the same thing. You see, I'm weak in not knowing how to pray as I ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So some people think, well, the Holy Spirit, he's going to do my praying for me. The Holy Spirit just takes over and he's doing all my praying. No, you see, he's the helper. The helper doesn't do all the work for you. He helps you get the job done. He takes hold with you against something. Like if we're going to, you know, pretend with me that this pulpit weighs 500 pounds and I need someone to help me. They're taking hold with me on the other side of this pulpit against the weight of it, and we're going to move it together. You see, the Holy Spirit, he helps me. He's moving something with me. There's something in the Spirit that needs to be moved. There's something that is blocking the answer to my prayers that I don't understand. There's a way that I need to pray that I don't know how because I have this finite understanding. I have limited understanding of what's taking place all around me. Even though I've been studying the Scriptures for a long time, I still, when it comes to God, when it comes to the things of God, I'm not very understanding. Do you know that even the Holy Spirit, it says that God sometimes really doesn't even understand himself, but the Holy Spirit searches the heart of the Father. The Holy Spirit knows what's in the Father, and he can bring that out to us. So we pray, and here, through, what did he say there? Through groanings, through intercessions, through makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You see, we do the praying, but the Holy Spirit comes alongside and helps us pray as we ought because we're limited, but he's not. He knows exactly how to pray. And so he prays through us as we pray in the Spirit. So if we can't even pray in the Spirit, well, how are we going to allow the Holy Spirit to pray through us with intercessions and groanings which can't be uttered? Goodness, this is why it's so important to be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Otherwise, all this great stuff can't even be done through us. You're going to be stuck at baby level Christianity, which praise God that you're still a Christian and you're going to make heaven. I'll praise God with you when we get there. But while we're here, don't we want to move mountains? Don't we want to make a difference? Don't we want to make an impact? Don't we want to see the sick stand up and walk? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't we want to see whole communities give their lives to God? Don't we want to see this sanctuary full of people coming and worshiping God? Well, unless we're going to pray through in the Holy Spirit, we're not going to see it happen. You know, as wonderful as our new stage design, all of Brockport doesn't really care. Whether I saved $35,000 or paid the $35,000, ultimately Brockport, Rochester doesn't care. But you know what will make a difference? When you begin to pray in the Spirit, begin to pray in other tongues and intercede for the lost. Lord, I don't want this community to go to hell. I don't want these unbelievers to go to hell. Lord, I pray that you use me as I enter into intercession and pray in the Spirit that these unbelievers would turn to God. That you would fill me with power. Remember, we read it in the book of Acts where they prayed and the whole place was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And what did they begin to do? They began to preach the word of God with power. Because when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, it adds power to your words. When Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost, after he had been filled with the Holy Spirit and power, he gets up and he preaches this sermon. And what does it say? It pricked their hearts. The conviction of the Holy Spirit came because it was no longer just a fisherman from Galilee getting up to speak. It was a man who had been empowered by the very presence of God. And as he began to preach the word of God, it resonated in their hearts. And they said, "What must we do?" And he said, "Repent and be baptized, be born again, and then you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit." That's what the Holy Spirit comes to do. But if we don't ever take time to intercede, if we don't take ever time to pray, how are we going to get there? That's why the move of the Spirit was so strong in previous moves of God throughout history. You read about Charles Finney and people, oh, if we could just have revival like they had in the days of Charles Finney. The man prayed all day long. People would come under a conviction to pray. But how can we even do that? We're too busy. We have too much technology, too much entertainment, too many things to do, too many sports to watch, too much stuff to actually enter into the things that God wants us to enter into. How are we going to do it? You know, you read about what happened after the day of Pentecost, and it said that they would gather daily for the hour of prayer. They would gather daily and spend time with the apostles to learn the apostles' doctrine and the breaking of bread and prayers. But when everything else takes precedence over the things of God, how are we ever going to see the move of God like we all want to see? One day I was handing out flyers and inviting people to the church. This was a few years ago, and I came across some local ministers, and I just handed them the flyer. I didn't know who they were, and they're like, "Oh yeah, we pastor such and such a church, and we're just hoping God moves again like He did in days gone by. We're just hoping that He redigs the wells." Man, if all you're going to do is hope that God moves, He's never going to. He needs a man and a woman to rise up in faith, to place the demand on the anointing, to intercede for the lost people. And this is what the Holy Spirit comes to do. You know, I mean, I believe it's Galatians, but it's Galatians, where he says that I travailed in labor for Christ to be formed in you. I travailed again in labor for Christ to be formed in you. Talking about the people that he had preached to and they had received the gospel message and had become born again. When you travail again, it means that you had previously travailed, right? So he travailed or prayed, interceded once that Christ, that they would become born again. And then again, that Christ would be formed in them. You see, unless we're going to enter into the Spirit, into the realm of the Spirit and pray, where my understanding is unfruitful, where I don't really know the things that I'm praying, but I'm connecting myself, I'm praying divine secrets, I'm allowing God to pray through me. You see, God doesn't just move on the earth because He feels like it. He always feels like it. But he needs a man or a woman who will rise up and let God move through them. And it's not just to be one man or one woman, one preacher, one minister. It's the body of Christ. The body of Christ. We're to rise up together and to pray in the Spirit. Amen? So I have a weakness. It's a limitation that I don't know how to pray as I ought. But thank God that the Mighty One, the Holy Spirit, He can come and help me take hold of against whatever stands in the way. Whatever needs to be moved, it's moved in the realm of the Spirit. Amen? So verse 4, I think I mentioned even this last week. It says, "He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself." Again, you read, it goes on to say, "He who prophesies edifies the church." But that's not to take away from praying in tongues. Because when you pray, you're being edified. Or really, a better word here would be charged. That when you pray in tongues, you're being charged. Like you're hooking up to the socket, and you're just letting that charge you up, strengthening you, refilling you. You know, it's awesome what batteries can do for us, right? My daughter, she just bought a car. She's only 3. She bought a car. She's been driving it around in the church. One of those little ones, battery powered. But it came without a charger. My wife found it like this crazy deal on Facebook where they're like, yeah, you just got to buy a charger. And my daughter's like thrilled. She bought her first car at 3. Praise God. But without hooking into that charger, that car, it looks nice, but it's not going anywhere. You know, and you know, when you buy the car new, it comes with a bit of a charge. Even this one, when we got it, we put it in here, and she drove it from the door all the way over to right over here, and then it just started slowing down. You know, some people, they got a bit of charge when they became born again. Then they got charged when they got filled with the Holy Spirit. But then they didn't plug back into the charger for the next 20 years. And then they wonder why they feel dry and they don't feel connected to God and they feel like just distant and they can't figure out their purpose and they can't figure out what God wants them to do in life and they can't figure out why God moves in other people's lives but not in mine. Well, have you prayed in the Spirit longer than it took you to drink your morning coffee? Because that's about all that some people will give them. Drink my coffee, say my prayer, then I'm off to work. I say amen, which means I'll talk to you tonight before bed. And then we go before bed. Thank you, Father, that it was a good day. You blessed me. Lord, I love you. Amen. Talk to you in the morning. You know, it's not meant to be that way. You see, Paul said that he prays continually. The only way that you can pray continually is if you're praying in the Spirit. You can pray in the Spirit. No one else needs to know what's going on around you or that you're doing it. No, everyone around, they don't need to know. But you just sit there praying in the Spirit. You're hooked into the socket. You're being charged up. You're getting the refreshing. You're just staying with the refreshing, plugged in. And anywhere you go, that's what's awesome about the Spirit. Jesus said when you're born again, it's like the wind. It just blows here and you can see the effects of it, but you don't ever see the wind. I mean, you don't see the thing of the Spirit, but you're just there at your desk working. You're just there at home with the kids. You're just there doing the dishes. You're just there working on the car. Whatever you're doing, you're on the computer, whatever. You're just hooked into the Spirit. Charging up, being refreshed. That way, when it's time to go, you can step on the pedal. Boom. It's like Elon Musk's, his new truck, right? You've seen that thing? It's awesome. I'm going to get one. I mean, that truck, I mean, you know, there's 3 stages of them, right? And the real expensive, the more expensive one, you know, $69,000 or whatever, I mean, 0 to 60 in 2.9 seconds with a battery. Man, I mean, that's like, you know, when you plugged into the socket, I mean, 0 to 60 in 2.9 seconds on a battery, praise God. I mean, what can we do in the Spirit? Stay plugged into the socket. Stay charged up so when you need to go, so when you need to believe God, so that when you need to move the mountain. You see, what does Jude say? Beloved, praying in the Holy Ghost, building yourself up on your most holy faith. You're praying in the tongues. You're building yourself up so that when it's time to put that faith to action, when I need to believe God for the miracle, when I need to believe God for this mountain to be moved, when I need to believe God for a healing or my unsaved loved one to come into the kingdom, I'm ready to go. It's not like, oh, well, you know, I have this need. I have this unsaved family member. I'm going to be praying, fasting. I'm going to enter fasting and praying for it. Man, you'd be ready to go because you've been plugged into the socket all week long. You come to church on Sunday not needing the worship leaders to get you all excited so that you can worship God. You come in, I'm ready to worship. You don't got to get worked up through the preaching to believe God for something. You're ready to believe God. We just come in all fully charged, ready to go, ready to do damage to the kingdom of the devil and increase the kingdom of light. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Man, I'm not even going to be able to finish my message. I have to share this one little bit. Whoever had the idea to limit service to 12 p.m., I'm going to talk to that guy. All right, so My friend here, Brother Neil, he was sharing something with me after the service last week about how when he was ministering around Australia, and he would share about the four baptisms, the baptism in into Christ Jesus, the baptism in water, then there's the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. You know, at first I was like, well, I didn't say this to you, brother, but I was just thinking, I always thought it was like the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire as one thing, but he made this distinguishment between fire, and I began to think about that during the week, about the baptism of fire. And do you remember on the day of Pentecost that when they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, what happened? Tongues of fire. They began to speak in other tongues, and they had fire over top of them. And I was like, man, that's the baptism of the Spirit and fire. Fire settled on each of them. Do you know what the most dangerous thing to a fire is? Wind, right? I mean, you all know, you don't go out in the backyard on a hot summer day. Oh, the wind's blowing 30 miles an hour. Let's light up the campfire. You don't do that. It's dangerous. Well, what happened on the day of Pentecost? Tongues, like as a fire, appeared on everyone. And then? Oh, a mighty rushing wind. Man, the most dangerous thing to a believer is that when they get filled up with the Holy Spirit and then the wind of the Spirit comes and blows on them, and man, you're just supercharged and it just spreads out everywhere. You see, that's why Jesus said that you have to tarry in Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit, because when He comes, you'll be filled, and then you will be a power. You'll be empowered to become a witness. Where? In Jerusalem, in all Judea, unto Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth, because that wind is going to blow you all over. You won't be able to sit still. You're going to be so filled that you have to get the word out. It's got to come out. And it's going to burn up everything in its path. The unbelievers, they're going to come to God like we've never seen before. And that's why it's important to be filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking tongues, praying in the Spirit. Hallelujah. 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 I thank you, Jesus, that you fill them, that you fill every single vessel in this place with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Fill them up to overflowing with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And as we enter into the Spirit, as we pray in the Spirit, I thank you that this region will be shaken, that this region will be changed, that the move of God that we all want to see, that we want to see this land turn back to God, that we want to see people's hearts come into the kingdom, that we want to see the move of your Spirit, God. I thank you that we enter into the ministry of intercession and praying in the Spirit, and that we'll see this move of God take place in Jesus' mighty name. I thank you for it. I thank you, Father, that you sent the Holy Spirit, that you won't give us an evil spirit, but that you give us the good Holy Spirit to anyone who asks Him. To anyone that asks Him, to anyone that seeks, He'll receive. He'll find. He'll get exactly what He comes to you for. So, Father, I thank you. I thank you, Father, that this congregation, that this group of people, that your bride here in Brockport, New York, that we would stir ourselves up in the realm of the Spirit, that we wouldn't be dependent on the realm of the natural, on what we're capable of doing, of what our mind tells us we can do, of what our body and what our strength, because it's not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit, says the Lord. I thank you, Father, that it's by your Spirit that we're going to move and advance this kingdom, your kingdom. Hallelujah. And then you have to receive all the glory. You have to, because it's not us. It's not our great wisdom. It's not our great ability. But it's by your Spirit. You have to receive the glory. Men will have to give it to you. Hallelujah. 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 We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, for sending the precious Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, Father, We give you praise, glory, and honor. I thank you, Lord, that this word resonates in our heart, that it continues to produce, just like a seed that's planted. And as we water it, that it continues to grow into something mighty that brings forth much fruit. I thank you that this word will bring forth much fruit in the heart of every hearer that receives it. In Jesus' mighty name. If you believe it, say amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.